live from Bella Italia, the head department. It is a wheezing, groaning sound, the only podcast in existence about the popular television series Doctor Who. And today we are dealing with the Black Guardian trilogy. Yeah. So set those Valentine dials to 11. Oh, and remember, when they go ter low, we go ter high.
Wow. Oh.
Now, guys, before we crack into everything, obviously I'm Tom Dean, and joining me are two men never afraid to take Hippo for a joyride, no matter what the zookeeper says. It's Mr. Paul Litchfield, Mr. John Ray.
Hey. I feel like we should applaud Tom, though, because he admitted as he walked in that he'd forgotten his notes.
Yeah. So that was done on the hoof.
That was on the hoof. I was hoofing that.
It's pretty good.
Guys, it's 100.
Guys, 100. We're only 100 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
No, is that how it works?
Could I just say, before we get going, because it's 100 and it's Easter weekend, I bought you both a present.
I bought presents. I bought cream eggs. Tom didn't bring anything.
I didn't bring anything.
I bought you both a little
Easter egg. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, what? Well, we're going to be eating, rather than polos this week, you're going to hear us munching on eggs.
We've got two Easter eggs each, a piece.
I laid them this morning.
So, I bought a Cadbury's cream egg for everyone. Uh-huh. John bought a Dairy Milk Buttons for everyone.
Yeah.
Tom, what did you bring, apart from your fucking notes?
He bought the polos.
I'm just going to say, you always brings the polos. Come on.
He always brings the polos to the yard.
Oh, hang on, sorry. Well, it's really exciting.
Go on.
It's 100th.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would work. You know how with like Cameo and stuff.
Mm. Right.
There is a Cameo section for the afterlife.
Oh, okay.
And oh, is so, there?
Yeah, I requested if Captain Tom could send us
no.
a message.
Wow. From hell.
Are you allowed to say that? Don't think we are.
Oh, he's very unlucky. Mm. He's the nice
Helston.
One.
In Cornwall.
And he's just sent us a... I've just got it through right now.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is it okay if I press play?
Please,
are we ready to hear that?
To you, Captain Tom.
Okay, I'm playing it now.
I don't want to talk to them boys because I think they might be... paedophiles.
Oh, no.
Can this go out?
Stop that there.
Yeah.
Captain Tom,
he's
from a
didn't
different
pay too
age.
Much for
£1 million. Yeah. Well, we got it off his daughter. She wipes her bum with it.
That was unfortunate.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hang on, fuck, there's another one coming through.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God. Mm. It's friend of the show, Brian Walden.
Hello, boys. I've just heard that you've reached a 100th episode milestone, so I just wanted to say well done and keep a wheezing and a groaning.
That was a nice one.
Well, normally they come in threes, don't they?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know who...
Who else have we got?
John, who do you think is coming through now?
I think it might be Stuart Lee.
It's okay. Yeah. Let's give him a play.
Let's press play, yeah.
Oh, hi, boys. 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to repeat something over and over again until it stops being funny and then starts being funny again. So, well done. And I look forward to the rest of them.
Wow.
Because I wouldn't have thought you'd have done something like a cameo. So.
Yeah, especially from beyond the grave.
From the hell cameo.
I think maybe he'd had like a heart attack.
Yeah.
And had briefly died.
Oh,
recorded
yes,
that. Then
so as he was going into the tunnel.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is very much like the opening credits of Doctor Who, isn't it?
It is.
That was probably what it's like. I hope that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Whoops, Mrs. Applecart, have you seen the cat? That's a little song I wrote for today.
That's beautiful.
That's so nice.
It's the same Brian Walden's in hell.
I know.
Why is he in hell?
I think because he got exclusive access to lots of interviews, and to do it, he had to murder boys.
Oh, right. That's an exclusive for the 100th episode.
Oh, dear.
So, obviously, we're doing a 100th episode.
Mm. So we thought, let's fucking go with one of the best.
Yeah. Let's really knock it out the park.
I don't think the expression accident rather than design has ever been more fitting than 100 episodes in and doing Mordred Undead.
Tom.
Yes.
Just exactly what it is are we doing for a 100th episode?
What?
What's the story we're doing?
We are doing Mordred Undead.
Of course we are.
Mordred Undead. As part of and we're doing the entire Black Guardian trilogy.
We are. You will do things for me.
Sorry,
do nothing.
I had to walk through a crow aviary. I got them all off me.
Yeah.
I hate that duck. That's a strong look.
Yeah,
it really is. He's really going for
it. I like when we meet the White Guardian a lot later. He's got a little dove on his head.
He's got a lovely dove.
They're both in Birchtruck.
Yeah. They have. Oh, it must be going at quite a speed when that hit him.
Good God.
Captain Phillips probably driving them.
And the Black Guardian landed safely on the Hudson River.
On early Hudson's River. Yeah.
He's looking good, though. He's
looking good.
For 120 years old, that man looks incredible.
He's young.
It's funny because I've watched Frozen Empire. And Bill Murray looks like a living bull. Well done, Ernie Hudson.
Very good.
Very good.
Does James, I haven't seen it yet, does James Acaster do an American accent or does he stick with his native Kettering?
He does his normal.
His native accent.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I think that's wise. Yeah. I think that's a good artistic choice.
I think it's rather bad that he has changed his name for advertising purposes because he never used to be called James Acaster, did he? He used to be called James Spotify.
That's true.
I think he's got the Acast deal.
Yeah.
I think it's quite sad.
Got to double down on that, really.
Tom, you probably knew him when he was James MySpace.
Yeah.
I remember he was James Mozilla.
Oh, good Lord.
James Napster.
James LimeWire.
Yeah.
God, LimeWire was a revelation.
Do you remember the risk of... sorry, we're doing...
The risk of LimeWire. Yeah.
The risk of LimeWire. You'd be like, oh, I'll download, I don't know, Under Siege 2.
Yeah.
And you'd get it and it'd be like the Tintin cartoon. Like,
Pirate Bay as well. Pirate Bay.
Yeah, that's where you used to download pictures of your favourite lady.
Yeah.
Dressed as a pirate.
Yeah. Beautiful times. Yeah. Linda Barron. We'll get to that later. She's my pirate bay.
Yeah. We're really rinsing our jokes that we should say for the episode in these first 20 minutes.
Yes.
We really are.
Miss Paul Litchfield.
Yes, sir.
I should also, for transparency's sake, I should say, I have forgot my notes. I will be, it's not a complex plot, Mordred and Undead, but it does require sort of knowing where people are at a certain time. So we'll see how I do with that.
I'm sure you'll be fine. You've done this before. You've succeeded.
Bon chance.
Oh, merci.
That's Tom. You've got friends.
Thank you. I feel supported.
They're in the next studio.
Yeah.
Get on with it, you prick.
Miss Paul Litchfield, what was on television, sir, on the day that episode one of...
Oh, I would love to tell you. By the way, boys, I'm going to adore this show. Oh. Adore it, because it's 100th.
Yay!
I'm all giddy.
What a glowing review
that is. I'm going to break open my egg.
Tom's breaking open his egg.
Yep.
Oh, he's going for the Dairy Milk one.
After you've done that, have some of your Easter egg as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The violence. It's like you created the Death Star inadvertently.
That's a little entry point.
Good news is that I can claim these eggs back off on my tax because they're part of the podcast.
Brilliant. Yeah, exactly. Well, now I'm using it. Listen to that. Listen to that foil on the microphone.
This is the foil coming off, everyone.
There you go.
This is for people who like ASMR.
Oh, no.
It's full of chocolate buttons.
ASMR stands for...
It's full of chocolate buttons.
A sound of... Music. Munching.
Alan Smithy's movie reviews.
Yeah, oh! That's nice.
And they're all the same. Yeah. Didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
Nothing to do with me, mate.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is Tuesday the 1st of February, 1983, when Mordred and Undead comes onto our screens. BBC One started, as it always does, with Breakfast Time, with Frank Boff and Selina Scott Timetable. They didn't put a full stop after Selina Scott. So her official name is Selina Scott Timetable.
She was married to Ian Timetable at the time.
Bus replacement service joke. After Breakfast Time was For Schools and Colleges. For Schools and Colleges. Courses included Gentleman Pottery, France, Murals, and the Romans.
So. I remember Gentleman Pottery. That was an Arthur Lowe show, wasn't it?
I don't want to make this vase. I'm breaking into the cream egg.
Yeah, breaking into cream egg.
Because it's the 100th episode, we try and call back to every single thing we've ever done.
Yeah. Sort of Simpsons Family Guy way.
Yeah.
I don't have any materials.
Well, we could do it like Seinfeld and do it really badly.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite work. That was for Schools and Colleges, which went on from 9 a.m. to 1 of the p.m. With a little break for the news. Then at 1 o'clock, Twas Pebble Mill at 1. No write-up, I'm afraid.
No.
So we don't know what happened. Have we had this before? I'm not sure. 1:45, Finger Bobs. Finger Bobs.
We must have had Finger Bobs at some point. We must have said something awful about him sticking his finger in
the
mouth.
Doctor and he gave me some
for your finger bits and your finger bobs. So it's Finger Bob. I'm trying to think of all the other characters.
They were all just finger-based animals.
They were just finger-based.
Like one of them wasn't like the Empire State Building or anything.
Fingerprints, he was there.
Fingerprint.
Yeah,
he was a criminal.
Yeah.
Never get caught.
There was a pervy one called Finger Ladies.
and of course, The Fist. Yeah, it's only in one episode. Thank
that
God.
Could have been a little hippo, couldn't it?
Isn't that where they all join forces? Like when the Power Rangers all become that one big Power Ranger. Yeah. Right.
Looks like Finger Bob's becoming The Fist.
They must defeat the evil bumhole.
Was a bummer on the end of a finger?
No,
it was. Was just, it a finger up a bum?
It was Brian Cant bent over.
Oh, right. Okay. Disgusting.
Yeah, he made.
After Finger Bob's, what's you and me?
Oh!
Yeah?
Dibs!
Lovely.
Cosmo. Hello, Dibs!
Cosmo. I can't do those two, so it's lovely these two. Cosmo and Dibs share a disappointment.
Oh, no.
Don't worry, Cosmo, we can try again later.
I'm so disappointed.
It can happen to people of your age.
He's joined Cosmo and Dibs.
I'm under a lot of stress. I'm waiting for this big deal to go through.
The tag comes off next Wednesday. Cosmo and Dibs share a disappointment.
I think that Cosmo and Dibs only sounded like that for one series. I think a lot of the other time they were quite generic sounding.
And they were like, hello.
Yeah. And they turned up at the end and...
Well, their carer was Gary Wilmot.
Yes, yeah. Are we saying that all puppets who live with humans, that's their carer? Yeah.
I think very carer. Much.
So, like, Matthew Corbett was Sooty's carer.
Yeah.
And...
So at some point, it was palliative carer, wasn't it, for some of these puppets? Yeah.
So. Certainly, like,
well,
Nookie
it's
Bear.
Their last series. We haven't towed them yet.
Well, the one that worries me is Tots TV, because they were left to their own devices.
Tots TV? What was that?
I'm a tot, je suis un tot, Tilly, Tom and Tiny.
What the fuck?
I really like that you're doing the hoovering, Tilly, but it's stopping me from doing my devil work.
Tiny, why don't you do the hoovering, Tiny? Could you be a bit quieter and just do the hoovering this Tiny?
That's what I was trying to do.
I didn't know I had that in
me. I was in the room with Roy Brothers.
I think that's erotic this podcast has ever sounded.
I didn't know I had TV. A Tom impression. That is,
I thought you were going to say, I didn't know I had a tiny tot inside me. I was going to heavily say, don't say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said it instead.
So that was Tiny Tots TV.
Yeah, so they go,
you probably didn't see it. You were probably out chasing ladies.
I'm a bit older, aren't I? Yes, I probably would. Yeah.
Or drinking ladies and chasing booze.
I would have been hanging around outside Buckfastly Abbey.
Yeah.
Buckfuck Abbey.
No, Buckfastly Abbey, where the famous cordials.
Oh, the Buckfast.
The Buckfast.
Yeah,
shit,
yeah.
Which is evil, and we give it all to Scotland, and they love it.
Shouldn't it be called Ghastly Grange?
Ghastly Grange. After You and Me, Songs of Praise.
Oh.
Songs of Praise on a Tuesday.
Songs of Praise.
I do not like this.
No.
Joys of Laughter is all we need to
worship. Songs of Praise. Songs of Praise and occasional dick joke is all we need to worship our Lord. By the way, it's what is it today? Is it OK Saturday, isn't it? Yesterday was Good Friday.
Good Friday. Oh, yeah.
Today's OK Saturday.
Yeah,
today you have cold Easter eggs and chips.
Yeah.
Why Good Friday? It should be like Horrible Friday, shouldn't it?
Because of what happened
for
to
him.
Our Lord, yeah.
It should be Bad Friday.
Well, Good Friday from a Roman perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bad Friday from Jesus. But then Jesus comes back on Easter Monday.
Brilliant Monday.
Which should be called Good Monday.
Mm. Should.
Or, you know, if you were looking after his dead body and then he just walked out. You'd be
surely it should be like, fuck me, Monday.
He's
back. Ah, the long Good Friday with Jesus in the back of the cab. Bam, 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 bam. He's been driven to the cross and he knows.
Here he is.
He's like...
Judas out on the pavement counting his
money.
Yeah. I consider myself...
This was a nice Jerusalem. All I wanted to do was build a leisure centre in Jerusalem. Bam, 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 bam.
This used to be a nice area. Families. Bit more than a knock dog, you know what I mean?
I consider myself media literate.
Right.
And it has only just occurred to me the thematic reason why it's on Good Friday.
Right.
And he is being driven off to his, I'm assuming, death at the end of that.
Yeah.
And I've sort of gone, oh, yeah. Oh, it's not. They just throw these things together.
No, they should have done a sequel where he comes back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Fuck me, it's Mandy.
Yeah.
Sadly, they can't now because poor old Bob has left us.
Yeah, and I don't think Helen Mirren would be up for it now, would she?
No.
I don't know. She was in fucking Shazam too. I think she'll do anything.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was Bob Hoskins... I don't know. I think he might be one of the absolute best. And I think that also goes into that most good character actors are sort of slightly rounder British, not British, but like slightly rounder guys, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, Bob Hoskins, those guys.
Oh, I see.
And Charles Hawtrey.
Charles. They should have done a Smiths album that had that had Bob Hoskins on the front. That's what
yeah,
she
yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you see you're going through that. Well, Gene would have done that because they copied all of Smith's.
They did. Yes, they did.
But I think any actor that does, in a serious point, any actor that does Who Framed Roger Rabbit and does it as well as he did, considering he's literally in a room on his own.
Yeah.
One of the greats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're
I'd
right.
like to see Laurence Olivier.
Yeah.
Or John Le Gielgud.
Larry try and take that on.
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier B.
Yeah.
Imagine
thank
him
you.
Doing that.
Ooga booga.
Try, it wouldn't work, would he?
Walt sent me.
Wow, you didn't know you had a hidden Olivier there.
Yeah, no. I didn't know I had it in me.
Good Lord.
That's what John Gielgud said.
Yeah. What's going on? Sorry.
Was that your John Gielgud?
That was Tom Gielgud.
Laurence Olivier, I like that you're practicing for Hamlet, but you are keeping me awake all night.
I'm sorry, darling.
It's our 100th show, everyone. This is our impression special.
Yeah.
I did say before we started, shall we be a bit silly?
Yeah. He did. So, songs of praise from St. Mary's in Kidderminster. I give my hands for 1,000 tongues. It says. I don't know whether that's the editor, just his own thoughts. I presume it's from him. Must be
or
from him, innit?
Could be her.
Yeah. I give my hands for 1,000 tongues.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because I remember being at a funeral.
Mm. Yeah.
And me and my friends were there to pay, obviously, reverence.
Yeah.
And the
to pay the reverend.
Yeah. All Things Brian Beautiful comes on.
Oh, lovely.
There's a line in that about his purple headed mountains. Was you know it's a beautiful image, but it's also as a teenager, quite a problematic thing to get to,
steeped in filth, isn't
yeah. Beautiful song.
Then you've got I was cold, I was naked, were you there? Were you
at
there?
At school, we used to go, I was there, all of us, and then we'd all get in trouble by the headmaster.
Was that
and
covered?
He'd go, right, that's it, sixth form, stay behind, and he'd just go, do not say I was there.
I was going to make a joke about a member of UNIT, but I'm not going to.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I can already see.
Be back engineer.
I can see the seeds of that
to.
One.
Yep.
after Songs of Praise was Lynn Marshall's Everyday Yoga.
Oh.
Yeah.
I will bed you, Lynn Marshall.
Everything kills me. Lynn Marshall's Everyday Yoga, day 17, the Cobra.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's a tricky
that's
move.
What she gets in a basket.
Spits on you.
Comes out and spits on your face. Yeah. And you have
comes
to be dressed
your bathroom
as
hamper and gobs on you. Yeah.
You have to be dressed as Indiana Jones, look surprised.
You must. Or maybe Roger Moore and Octopussy.
Why does
she
it
does
always
it twice. She does it first time where you can see her reflection in the glass. Right. And then she does it 20 years later where they've digitally removed the reflection.
Ah, very good.
Good.
That's a good bit of tinkering. Well done, Lucas.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. After Lynn Marshall's Everyday Yoga, day 17, at 25 past 4, was Jack Anori.
Ooh.
With Peter Settle.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was I the only one who thought that was going somewhere else?
Do you really think it was going to go
not
somewhere?
The only one.
With Peter Settle.
The happy lorry driver. Yeah.
Who's Peter Settle? Settle-en.
I don't know. We thought you were going to say Peter Settle.
Yeah.
No. And it's called the Wheel on the Squall by Mindhurt Dar Dijon.
This is another stroke, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Peter Salis, and it's called The Wheel of the Bus.
Yeah.
Wheel on the
I've got a little... This is not very funny, but it's about Peter Salis and a bus.
Oh?
Which is that when I worked at Teddington Studios, they used to do...
You ran him over?
Yeah. They because they used to film Last of the Summer Wine,
yes.
And then show it to an audience, but they'd also have the cast there, so the audience didn't just feel like they were, you know,
right. So the laugh track came from.
Yeah. Exactly.
Did they show it to the audience at gunpoint?
Yeah.
I always assumed the audience were tied to the camera and their wheels,
just
and they'd
going
go
around
everywhere with them.
Yeah.
That explains that one,
right?
But so Peter Salis was going to be picked up, and obviously they send a car for someone like Peter Salis.
Of course.
But every time he'd phone up 10 minutes before his car was meant to have arrived and gone, I can't see me bus.
Oh.
Which I think is lovely.
Peter, nice that you can't see your bus, but you've been keeping me up all morning looking out the window.
Peter, I'm the pressure that you want to go to the recorder. The paper.
I always feel like I need a wash after that.
By the way, I don't
absolutely
like.
Spot on.
I don't pick myself up too much, but that one, for some reason, that is.
Spot on.
Yeah.
There's a current trend. I mean, I was too old for Tots TV.
Right.
I was current trend, like, if your TikTok what's the word? Savvy.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of people will do a no context TOTS TV. So that's why I'm currently, I find them really funny.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When that is spot on.
After Chuck and Nori, it's 20 to 5. It's time for Animal Magic.
Hey!
Johnny talks to some Mexican jumping beans.
Uh-oh. Oh, God. Oh, no, I think we can all
Hello,
imagine
Mr.
that.
Maui. We're going to jump all over you.
Oh, what no. are you doing jumping all over me vest?
Oh, yeah.
Si, senor, we are going to start a revolution.
Do you want to know my name, Mr. Morris? My name is Senor Wheelie.
Johnny, you've got to stop
Johnny.
This filth.
I am looking for work. Oh, Johnny, no.
No.
Don't
across the border into your underpants.
Johnny.
Mr. Johnny, you're so sexy.
Oh, yeah, Johnny.
Mr. Johnny, you're so sexy.
Johnny, can you...
Johnny,
please.
Can you fucking stop?
And it's fine, just stop putting your hand down your trousers.
Oh, look at all these jumping beans. Oh.
Yeah,
so anyway, what we were doing there, we weren't doing Mexican impressions, we were doing impression of Johnny Morris doing an impression of...
Vitally important, you remember, we're doing impressions of Johnny Morris.
Yes.
Doing what was wrong at the time.
Yes. Yeah. Please. Does that make it better?
No.
Please don't cancel us.
Please don't cancel us, everyone. After Animal Magic was the news, and then it was Doctor Who.
Whoa.
At 10 to 7 on a
Good
Tuesday.
Time.
Not sure about that. No. Mordred Undead Part 1 that is a writer for you, Tom. Here we go. Caught in a warp eclipse, the TARDIS is drawn to a huge spacecraft orbiting Earth, whereupon the Doctor is separated in space and time from Nyssa and Tegan.
Well, that is handy to know, because I don't have my notes.
It's pretty much what happens.
Thank you, Gino.
Yeah.
Thank you, BBC.
Caught
Gino.
In a warm eclair.
Caught in an eclair. I can't walk out because it's tasty and I'm hungry.
Well, yeah, I mean, no reason to leave a warm eclair.
No.
You know, you used to do the British cream adverts.
Oh, they all did.
Kenneth Williams.
Pat Coombs did one as well.
Oh, Pat Coombs.
Pat Coombs did one. Lovely Patty Coombs.
Oh, I fucking love sticking these up my face.
Oh, no. Pat, no. Come on.
Oh, Pat. I don't know what you're saying about it. Those eclairs on the
sale of eclairs would go seriously down if that was the voice.
I'm so sorry, everybody.
It goes through me a bit, I'm afraid.
I just had a cream egg. Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
It's made me all giddy.
Has it? Well, thank you for my daily milk.
Your daily
I was going to say.
Give us today our daily milk.
Cadbury's daily milk.
Forgive those who milk against us.
And those who milk... No, I'm not going to go there. After Doctor Who, Mordred and Dead Part 1 was Vox Pop. Vox Pop.
Oh, this is the public's...
Yeah, domestic issues in relation to Lancashire.
It would just be people sitting in a booth, I think.
In a booth.
And
is it booth or booth?
Well, the thing is, the roads are very nice, but there's too many potholes.
Yeah.
And the fellow that runs the news just speak a word of it. All
right, if it's Lancashire, it's going to be a lot of bloody Yorkshire fuckheads think that they're better than us, but we've got a lovely kick called the Bastard! Yeah. That's much fucking better than anything you jumped up bloody Yorkshire fucks can make!
You soft southern bastard.
Yeah, all that. I went to Devon once, it's shit! All that. Do you want to do a...
I wouldn't even...
You wouldn't even countenance it.
I'm not from Lancashire.
That's all. Oh, around.
Yeah.
This is nice, though. This is lovely. After Vox Pop was the Variety Club Awards.
Oh!
Hosted... by yours truly, old Terry Wolf.
Hey!
And joining me on the dais to help give out the old prizes is Mr. Ron Moody.
What?
Oh, wow.
Ron Moody, he would have done a bit of Oliver, wouldn't he?
Oh, definitely.
I am reviewing the situation. And the Best Entertainment Award goes to Marty Kane.
Yeah.
Ron Moody could have done a song about strike action, couldn't he?
Yes.
He got to get in a picket line or two.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Ron Moody's last acting gig, I think, was on an insurance advert, wasn't
he? Oh, really?
With Paul Whitehouse. Didn't he win an Academy Award for Fagin? Did he get, was he nommed or something for Fagin?
Moody?
I think he won.
I'm not sure.
Because that was sort of...
He was known as the definitive Fagin, wasn't he, for a very long time.
Yes, he's the one that everybody's doing an impression of.
Yes.
Well, he's kind of doing an impression of Alec Guinness in the David Lean Oliver film.
Ah, okay.
But his one is the one everyone's basically aping.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And it's like, I know he worked a lot, but sort of he'd have one huge iconic performance that sort of really stayed the test of time. And then sort of, I'd be struggling to say another sort of...
It's really hard to find him in anything else.
Yeah, it's very strange.
He's in a very odd Curate's Egg, Mel excuse me, Mel Brooks film called 12 Chairs.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. Stars Ron Moody.
His first one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very weird.
Did he do a Doctor Who?
Ron Moody? No.
Was he, aren't there rumours always that he was going to be, like, yes. He was up against Baker yes. and he was up against, you know, wow. Pertwee and
that's
stuff?
Who they, yeah, I think that's who they wanted instead of someone. Yeah.
Imagine
yeah,
Ron Moody.
Instead of Jodie Whittaker.
They want Ron Moody.
Ron Moody in Baker's Clobber. Can you yeah. imagine it?
Well, he sort of is in as Fagin, isn't he? He's kind of got a...
Yeah, he was when Round the Horn started. Mm. Beyond was it Beyond Arcade? I can't remember. When Round the Horn started, he was one of the cast.
Really. Oh, was he?
Yeah,
lovely.
They obviously jettisoned him.
Oh,
or maybe he got the Oliver gig. Who knows?
Who yeah. knows?
But he was in like the Bill and stuff, wasn't he? Like he'd turn up in the Bill as just
Ron
like,
Moody.
Yeah, it's like a homeless man. And
yeah,
things.
He'd always be a service charge on Ron Moody when you get your bill.
Fair enough. I'd pay 15%.
15%
goes direct to Ron Moody.
There you go. That's all that my agent gets.
I would love to have seen the Variety Club Awards.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would.
Faye Wogan. Oh.
They used to televise all sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
Remember, every time you see a documentary about Eric Morecambe, there'd be like the Pipe Smokers Award.
Mm.
And it'd be on telly and you're like, fucking hell,
it's content, isn't it?
Mm, after the Variety Club Awards, a slight change in tone, but oh my God, it's a seminal TV show. It's 21:25. That's 9:25 for listeners. It's Boys in the Black Stuff.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Part four, Yoss's story. That is literally Gears a Job.
Gears a Job.
Gears a Job. Gears a Job. I can do anything. Gears a Job.
So you can watch More Journey Dead Episode 1 and then Gears a Job.
The Variety Club Awards and then Gears a Job.
It kind of feels like a kind of, you've got two flat plateaus and then in the middle this huge
yes.
yeah
useful yeah. place yeah. yeah
blimey
Boys and Black Stuff and then after that was People and Power which I think we've covered before. David Dimbleby always either meets someone high up in some government but in this one it just says David Dimbleby looks at the Irish dimension like it's another world.
Yeah, that
sounds like something from the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the Irish dimension.
Well, you're in the Irish dimension now. You've got to drink all this and have a fight. Yeah,
again, drinking Guinness.
Get out, get out, get out. That's what they're always
get
saying.
Get out, it's a lock-in. Sort of thing. And you don't win a crystal, you win a fight. You know, it just writes itself.
I'm Irish, so we can go.
Oh, I'm Irish as well.
Yeah.
Irish
go, yeah. There we go. We go all in I'm on Irish. This. There we go. That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irish happy. Version of you. Oh, that's something that me and Jeremy Lim would only laugh at. That makes no sense. I'm not even persist on that.
Jeremy Lim, who is our Dalek, isn't he?
He's our Dalek. Yeah.
And also, there's a connection for this episode.
There is, of course.
His father's written one of my favourite pieces of music.
Which hopefully we're going to hear, because it is possibly the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. Yep.
However, for the moment, we must gently wave goodbye to BBC One and welcome in BBC Two, which began in 1983 on the 1st of February at 4:25 in the afternoon.
Good Lord.
Lazy BBC Two. Well. Student BBC Two. And a get a bed student BBC Two. Jesus.
Smoking your wacky backy.
Yeah. Lighting your joss sticks.
Yeah.
Patchouli flavour. Flavour? You don't eat it started at 4:25 with Men of Ideas.
They're good.
Brian McGee talks to Iris Murdoch. Well, she's a woman with ideas, first of all. So
just get rid of that.
Yeah.
That immediately.
She's not a woman with ideas.
Is Iris... Iris Murdoch isn't still, because that was the film, was her...
Irish Murdoch.
Irish Murdoch.
All right, it's me, Irish Murdoch. Howling mad Irish Murdoch.
Going off in tangents here.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever read an Iris Murdoch?
No.
No, nor have I.
No.
Yeah.
I haven't even read a Doris Lessing.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, dear.
I haven't.
Well, it's true, he hasn't.
I haven't read a Catherine Cookson.
Oh, no, you don't read a Catherine Cookson. You watch them on ITV too.
Oh, fair enough.
It's always the same thing with a Catherine Cookson. It's always the milliner's daughter, the dressmaker's sister, the old bitch who lived up the road. It's always that. And it's always a working class woman who then does good.
Oh, nice.
And then
very
she
nice.
Resents doing good.
Yeah.
And then she has to go back to being poor to realise she's happy.
Oh, fair
That's
enough.
Standard That's Catherine Cookson.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Her grandson was Roger Cook's son. Yeah.
That's why I've never read one of hers, because I always go to read it and then...
Realise you're not a 70-year-old lady.
Well, then I knock on the door of the library and I go, can I read a Catherine Cookson? And they go, no, I'm not talking to you.
Talking
and then I try and get my foot in the door. Say, but I'm Roger Cook's son.
I'm Roger Cook's son.
They go, no.
I'm Roger and I cook sons.
No comment.
I literally get my foot in the door at the BBC. That's what my dad... Oh, ITV. That's what my dad does.
Hold a newspaper up to their face so they can't be
He's still alive, Roger Cook.
Is he?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Oh, I'd like to fact he's like maybe in a home now, but he's still keeping up the reporting stuff.
Why was our porridge cold?
They're like, just off his meds. It'll be fine.
Why are you locking my door at night?
33 peas on my plate, but on Hector's plate, there were 39.
One of the greatest things you can find on YouTube ever is the episode of the Cook Report called Hot Dog Wars.
Wow.
Which is amazing. It's about how, right, literally competing hot dog firms at public events.
Yeah.
Someone gets murdered in it.
What?
Someone murders someone over hot dog.
Whoa! How has this not been in film?
I don't know.
This has like gentle British comedy written all over it, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah, I own the IP on that if anyone wants
there
to
know. There
it is. Okay. If Simon Farnaby's listening, I'm ready.
Yeah. Make it work.
Yeah.
After Men of Ideas with Brian McGee talking to Iris Murdoch at 5:10 was Living on the Land. Bill Simmons, S-Y-M-O-N-D-S,
okay.
Is a cider maker, country gentleman, drunk.
Wow.
I mean, you kind of covered it in the first one.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So someone basically goes and meets him, doesn't he? Like, Christ, look at this pisshead.
Hey! Hey! I'm the cider drinker.
I will not be... Delegating, is that the word? Denigrating, designating.
Fider, his name was Danville Penberth, eh?
Is that Jethro?
Jethro, yeah.
Very
that,
nice.
That is how we speak, everyone. I'm so sorry. That is how we speak. Living on the land, Bill Simmons, cider maker, country gentleman, drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hunk.
An absolute hunk. Just completely ripped. So he's 80.
Yeah, yeah.
Bench 80-year-old. Yeah.
Nipples like chapel hat pegs. Constantly naked from the waist up. And it was like, fuck me. Fucking hench.
Like that man you were telling me about yesterday who drew naked men.
Who's that?
What?
The man who drew naked men you were talking about.
Please put some context into this, John. It makes it sound weird.
We were talking about...
John came round to my house.
Yeah. I went to Paul's house. Uh-huh. And there was a conversation about... how you'd drawn this ripped hench Santa, and you said it was
based off the drawings of Tom from Finland.
Oh, right.
It wasn't that sordid, everybody.
No.
Yeah.
We were clothed.
I like the way he hasn't heard of Harlem Globetrotters. I mentioned Tom from Finland.
Oh, yeah. He is lit up, didn't he? Ooh. He is lit up.
I don't know how to draw the hench Santa. That's quite loud, that's the Paul.
Oh, that's coming from a satanic person. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
After that, though, oh, how lovely, 5-6, Charlie Brown.
Oh!
Charlie Brown. Someday you'll find her, Charlie Brown, it says.
Oh. Charlie Brown, a bit maudlin, though, isn't it?
I think it was supposed to be, wasn't it? It was all about the human condition.
When I was a child, I was a bit like, pep it up a bit. I think that's why Snoopy, sorry, I spat, being a polo. I think that's why Snoopy was so attractive to children, not like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because at least he had fun.
He was the light relief, wasn't he?
Whereas Charlie Brown, I've got to say, for a few years, I thought he was having chemotherapy or something.
Is that depressing?
I thought he was ill.
He was a bald boy.
Yeah.
It's malignant, Charlie Brown. God.
And he had, and then they introduced. He had a little brother who was equally as miserable.
Yeah,
his thing was he'd be on the little seat on the back of his mum's bike.
Mm. That's right.
But he'd talk. It was a bit like Travelling Matt. He'd be like, "Oh, today we went to a place where." Anyway, it was boring.
Well, there you go. You've heard it here first. Yeah. In a nutshell.
Is Charlie Brown still boring. With us?
Yeah.
Huh? Is Charles Schultz still with us?
No, he's many years dead.
Oh,
that's a shame. Yeah.
Burning in hell. No, he's not. He's in heaven. He's doing really
dry roasted peanuts. That's what I'd have called my a review of his career.
Dry roasted peanuts. Very good.
Peanuts.
Yeah, if you on the roast.
Hey, Charlie Brown. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. Comedy Central's Charlie Brown roast. All the other animated characters get to roast him.
Oh man,
that's really good, isn't it? Dusty Dudley lad. He is an absolute prick. Yeah. West Adderley.
The coyote comes out, and it turns out he's got a really deep voice.
That's great.
I absolutely hate his Charlie
Brown. I think he's absolute asshole.
Because we never know, do we?
No, we don't
know. Charlie Brown is sitting there going, this is the roast. It's just everyone calling me a prick. Yeah, that's abuse.
There needs to be like a joke surrounding it or something.
Don Rickles comes out and he goes, hey, I've known that Charlie Brown for 30 years. What a cunt.
If I was Charlie Brown. Yeah, what's his name? The guy
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried. Mm.
Charlie Brown was an animated wanker. Yeah.
Just an animated Charlie Brown crying.
Gross. This is just being really horrible.
It's just abuse to a two-dimensional cartoon. Mm. It's ridiculous. Then Captain Caveman came out and went, actually, I thought he was nice. Bunga bunga, Caveman out. Club drop.
That was the problem with the Chevy Chase roast, wasn't it? Was that no one likes Chevy Chase.
No, so they meant everything they said.
Yeah. I think there should be some affection in a roast that makes it sort of
absolutely.
A little bit of sugar in the salt.
I think you should put a bit of sage and onion in the roast.
Oh.
Nice.
Even John shaking his head.
Yeah.
Terrible.
No, I liked it. After Charlie Brown was the Waltons.
The Waltons.
That was another.
Fuck off. The Waltons, is if you know that chart, you
so
file
depressing.
Things and they're like good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah.
The Waltons, I would file alongside things like Sons and Daughters. They were just on.
Mm.
No one enjoyed watching them. They were
relentlessly on.
In those
on.
Days, you would literally... You couldn't watch anything else.
Yeah.
So you had to just put up with it.
Yeah, you know, so you go, all right, the Waltons is on, I better watch it.
Yeah.
You know one of those that I've completely done a vault face on, if that's the right phrase, is The Golden Girls. The Golden Girls. I rewatched The Golden Girls on Disney Plus.
Mm. I've been doing the same.
Really?
I'm on season 5.
It's very good.
It's really funny.
Yeah, it's
genuinely
really funny.
Really funny.
And I was like, I was ready. I went in with my arms crossed, being like,
really
all right.
Brilliant character work.
Yeah.
They're all funny as well.
Yeah.
Each and every one of them are hilarious. So much fun.
Yeah.
Love it.
There you go. This will become a Golden Girls podcast.
That's what we're doing after Wheezing and Groaning.
Wheezing and Groaning, though, would be how some of them died.
Oh, no. Poor Blanche.
Poor Blanche.
Who went first? Was it Blanche?
Or would it would have been the old...
Rue is still alive.
No.
No?
No. I think
aren't some alive?
Now.
Are they all really gone?
Betty White was the last one, I think.
Yeah. Betty White was last. Okay.
It would have been the grandma, wouldn't it?
She was one of the younger ones.
Oh, yeah. Was she like a Clive Dunn? Was she Clive Dunning?
She was the American female Clive Dunn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you may have seen some episodes where they do some ones set when Blanche is young, when she's a little girl, and then the mum gets to put the grey wig on. She's got dark hair.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love
it. That's the Sting music.
Before
the sitcom.
And then what's the, is it, what's the theme tune?
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
The best, someone did the opening credits to the Golden Girls, but they made them all the Super Friends. That's quite fun.
They
perfectly rotoscoped it.
Oh, that's nice.
It's fun.
Mm. It was also quite, we're going quite heavy into Golden Girls now.
This is the Golden Girls podcast.
Yeah.
Hi, we're the Golden Boys. Welcome to our show. There's a nice roll call of loads of sort of 60s, 70s actors, crooners, comedians that always bleed into Golden Girls, like, because they're in for one episode.
Yes.
Which is always good fun.
Well, my favourite fact is that Quentin Tarantino was able to fund Reservoir Dogs because he plays an Elvis impersonator.
Holy shit!
I can tell you another fact that'll blow.
Go on.
Yeah.
There was a sequel series where they ran a hotel, genuinely.
Oh, no. Yeah. Grace and Favour.
Alexi Sale was in it.
What the
but
fuck?
But it got cancelled very quickly.
Oh, Alexi Sale? Did you say?
Yeah, Alexi Sale was in it.
When was it called?
Like the Golden Palace or something like
that. Oh,
I bet he was like a bellboy or something.
He was an immigrant, I think.
Yeah. We can all imagine that.
Yeah. Brilliant. So it's basically the American equivalent of Don't Drink the Water, on the Buses spin-off.
Yes.
Where Blakey goes to Spain.
My dad used to serve him at Lewisham Post Office quite a lot.
Wow.
No. Yeah.
Stephen Lewis.
Yes.
Lived in Lewisham.
He did live
in
Lewisham.
On the nose. I can't live anywhere else.
But like, he wasn't acting. That was just him. That was just, you know. I mean, when you got that face and that voice, that's sort of what your character is.
I'm afraid
Yeah.
Do your voice. What do you mean?
Actually, the favourite role of his he played, which I loved, was he was Bobby Chariot's writer in Alexi Sale.
Oh, really?
When Bobby Chariot used to go backstage, Stephen Lewis would be at a typewriter.
The guy jumped pills for me.
Lives in my car and pills me now.
Yeah. And when he's in a cafe and he says, hey, don't bring in your own food. And he goes, it's just newspaper.
Yeah.
And he's like, joke's on him, I soaked it in lard. It's a brilliant series.
So good.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing series.
Yeah.
After the Waltons, by the way, that episode that we kind of discussed was called Hot Rod. And I don't think we should go any further with that. After that was Russell.
That's a weird episode of Rainbow as well.
After that
wasn't
was
it?
Russell Harty.
Russell Harty.
8:35. No write up. It just says TV's most unpredictable show.
I thought he was rubbish. Sorry.
Don't turn your back on Russell Harty.
Right. Do you think he was way below Aspel? Way below Wogan. Wogan with a shat all over him.
There's a famous interview he did with David Bowie where Bowie just got fed up with him.
Let's face it, the only thing anyone ever remembers Russell Harty for is when she hits him, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Grace Jones.
He's also an emu victim, isn't he?
He's an emu victim.
But he's not the ultimate emu victim.
Yeah, that's Parky.
It's Parky. Yeah, he was the ultimate.
I hated that fucking bird.
After Russell Harty, at 9 p.m. was Doctor's Dilemmas.
Oh.
Yes. Episode 4. STDs and sexual health. Actually, no.
He's a man of principle.
Yeah. I don't want to know what's going on down there. And then it was Arena. Mm. Arena. Arena this week takes a sideways look at hair.
Oh.
Side parting, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you are. And that was your television delights on BBC One and BBC Two.
But why?
Can you not remember what happened?
But why? When you could be doing something, what's happening with Beginning Media Rares?
Yeah.
because it's Hippo.
Yes, with Hippo. It's 1983. That's important. The year 1983.
Oh, yes, very important,
it's contemporary. Mm. Might not sound it. And we join a young, perhaps, scallion.
I need to ask you a question about this, John.
Okay.
I briefly brought this up with Paul the other day. I feel like an idiot for asking this.
Okay.
But this is the first time we see Turlo, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it just assumes that we know he's from another planet.
It's Matt. Like,
I don't get it.
Yeah, okay. So we meet Turlo.
Yeah.
And should we get it out of the way now?
Yes. Yeah.
With his joyride, where he is...
It's possibly the best piece of incidental music you've ever heard. Well done, Roger Lim.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got it here.
Oh.
Right.
Sorry, for those listening, I'm unwrapping my egg.
Paul's unwrapping his egg.
Yeah.
Whilst we... Honestly, this is beautiful. I want this played. I want this played at your funeral.
I can't bloody find it now.
Oh, gold. Oh. Yeah, so Turlo's there.
Yeah.
Because at no point during this three-story arc, we never really know why Turlo is on Earth.
No.
Driving a vintage car.
Yeah. we don't know. We've never met Turlo before.
No.
Because when I was watching this, I thought, oh, there must have been an episode before this telling us who Turlo is.
Yeah, yeah.
But there isn't.
No, there isn't. No.
And he's at a posh public school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's an alien.
And it's only sort of alluded to, like...
Yeah.
Only, so he crashes his car.
He backcombs his eyebrows.
Yeah.
Because he's an alien.
His name's Vizlor Turlo.
Yeah,
That's right.
He crashes his car when he's out on a joyride with Hippo, and he suddenly goes
Hippo.
Into like a...
It's too on the nose, it's horrible.
Yeah.
He's a little fat porky kid, so Hippo.
Well, his name is... I think it's reference to his surname, isn't it? His name is Ibbotson.
Right.
But then Ippo. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he finds himself in like an old 90s screensaver.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. And he meets
the Black Guardian.
Valentine Dial.
Interesting. Valentine Dial, I'm just gonna say.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's read the brief, hasn't he? He knows what he's in.
Yes.
And he's brilliant, I think. And his voice I could listen to all day.
Amazing
Valentine
voice.
Dial.
So we have met him before in the Keats Time season.
His voice is half Barry White with that baritone. Mm. And then he sort of does a little bit of Kate Williams.
Yeah.
So it's really low, really... Both registers in pitch at the same time.
It's incredible.
Odd.
He's in harmony with himself.
Yes.
And he's got a bird on his head.
Not
for the first time.
Yeah.
With that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he sourced Turlo as the right person to choose.
I mean, if you're going with the fact that you know he's going to meet the Doctor,
yeah,
but then his actions, the Black Guardian's actions, make him meet the Doctor,
yeah.
So that doesn't make real sense.
No. Also, I still don't really know his raison d'être that the Doctor must die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, yeah. Why now?
He fucked my wife.
What is it that he parked his TARDIS on his cat?
Make my wife herpes.
Gave my wife herpes.
I mean, it's a reason.
If it was the Trackmaneer, it's probably fucking true.
But why he He goes, this person, and that, but yeah, I all of that is very. You have to buy a huge amount in the first episode.
You have to swallow a lot and go, okay, sure,
yeah. Because on board the TARDIS, Tegan's still worried that she's being bothered by the Mara.
Yeah.
Well, she had a hell of a time of it, didn't she, really?
She has.
Hell of a time of it.
But they've finally gone... Because I like this in the Davidson era. Hmm. They would often have a little callback to what happened...
Last week's app.
Yeah. So it all feels connected. So there'd be like
a... Apart from when a bloke turns up from outer space and we don't really mention where he's come from or why.
Apart from that. Yeah. But there'd be like... Cool, that book, The Black Orchid, was fun. Yeah. Love reading The Black Orchid.
Or that, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, that Day of the Daleks we had. Stuff like that.
Sorry, Doctor, I've been drinking. I saw five doctors.
Yeah. but yeah, so...
Can we also talk about the other amazing thing?
Yeah?
Nissa's not in Nissa gear.
Finally.
Nissa's in a cheeky little grey tight mini skirt and sweater.
I'm just going to say now, these are Bert's favourite episodes. This is
Bert started watching from this episode.
Yeah. Because he loves the Radio Times, but we've never actually seen him watch a Doctor Who.
No.
So.
The Radio Times cover for the year 1983 is Compo Clegg and...
Wow. That's lovely.
Well, I think we should register just in a non-misogynist way.
Yeah.
Sarah Sutton's a babe.
It's so nice for her to not be in that stupid red velvet clobber.
Yeah.
Where she's like sort of like a harlequin.
She's underserved, I think, throughout her tenure, isn't she? Because I think she's actually, as we'll discover throughout these, actually very, very good actor.
Yeah.
Mm.
But yeah, sort of underutilized, especially when she's like in the Visitation, where she's just building a robot on her own in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get caught in a warp ellipse.
Of course they do.
Yeah. And they materialise on board an empty Starliner.
They do.
It looks a bit Premier Inn, doesn't it? It looks like kind of mid-90s Premier Inn.
Very travel-lodgy.
Yeah. It doesn't look very exciting.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to come unstuck, because I had all it written down about... Because one of them gets on board. So, there's a Transmat capsule. The Doctor travels to Earth via the Transmat...
Mm-hmm.
And then... But Turlough comes with it. Hang on. Yeah.
They go to the ship.
Mm.
The Doctor and Nissa or Tegan come to Earth, whilst Turlough from Earth goes to the ship.
Yes, yeah.
Then they reverse it,
I think.
Like that.
Yeah. So what you do have...
The Transmat is brilliant. I like it.
Like the Transmat?
The big silver
egg.
Bollock.
Yeah.
The lovely Easter egg, thank you.
There we go. That's why we've done more than dead.
This is why we've done it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Enjoy that when non-patrons, when you're listening to this in...
I must say, the reason for the bam, 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 theme is because Turlough and fucking Hippo have gone for a joyride and they've only bumped into the bloody Brigadier's car.
Yeah, that's bad,
and he's furious with them.
I'll tell you what, he was very hungry. Brigadier.
I would say, while we've got a good Nissa performance, Nicholas Courtney's doing, like, we'll get to it, but you know, Nicholas Courtney's doing some good acting in this.
Not since he was in Bullseye.
Yeah.
Really this good. No, he's great. He's always great.
Yeah. And he wasn't Bullseye as in 180.
No.
No.
Right, yeah.
He was in the Michael Caine, Roger Moore epic.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good. But Turlough, so the Doctor's alone with Turlough.
Yeah.
And Turlough's going to try and kill him.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, because the Doctor's transmatted down to find the source of the power of why there's a transmat in 1983 in the school.
Can I say I love that when the Doctor goes down tonight, goes to 1983,
he
takes a little toolkit with him.
Yay!
Love it.
Screwfix.
Yeah.
And he kind of opens up like a plinth.
Plinth.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There's electronics in there.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be helpful for him getting out of the cliffhanger, because Turlough lifts a rock above his head and is about to strike the Doctor dead.
So Turlough, alien masquerading in a public school, is contacted by a strange man with a crow on his head.
Yeah.
He tells him to murder a man he's never met.
Yeah.
And within 20 minutes, he's already got a rock.
Yeah.
So he's about to lamp the Doctor.
Also, lovely Only Fools and Horses connection in this episode.
Oh, go on.
The headmaster is played by the vicar from The Frog's Legacy.
Oh, nice.
He's sold a dodgy computer by
Joel Boy. That's fun.
And the way that because it seems that every time Turlough wants to contact the Black Garden, he has this unwieldy crystal that he has to use in his hands. But the Black Guardian can just appear at will anywhere.
Yeah. So it's
and
unclear.
He can also be other people, because at one point he's the headmaster.
Yeah. When he's recuperating.
If the Black Guardian can do all that, why doesn't the Black Guardian just appear in front of the Doctor and just stab?
Yeah.
Just done immediately.
Apparently as well, that little light up little crystal he has was run by a wire that got incredibly hot.
So Turlough's got burn marks.
Yeah, all the way through.
All the way down his wrists.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah. So there we are. But luckily, end of part one, part two, luckily there's a little spark that throws the Doctor backwards, knocking Turlough, who then drops the rock. What I really like is, I think at one point the Black Guardian's trying to convince Turlough that the Doctor is evil. Mm. And he's saying, you need to kill this man because he's really evil.
Yes.
But then at another point, the Black Guardian's like, feel the evil flow through you. And you're like, well, hang on, what? Yeah.
Come on. You've been very inconsistent.
Which yeah.
Also, Black Garden, you should be like the Yellow Garden if you wanted to think legal, people think I'll start again.
Neutral.
Neutral. Not evil.
Beige, the beige guardian.
Yeah, the taupe guardian.
Yeah, yeah. But the Doctor meets the Brigadier at school.
Yes.
But he's like, oh, Brigadier. Doesn't remember anything.
No, he's like, who are you?
Yeah.
Doesn't know who he is.
Imagine that.
He's living in a shed at the end of school property.
He's living in his little Roald Dahl shed.
He's living in Roald Dahl shed.
He's having the life of Riley. Are you listening to cricket?
Yeah.
You don't like cricket, you love it.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
But what I love, there's that wonderful scene where he's going, but surely you remember... Surely you remember.
Oh, it's all that lovely, isn't it?
Mm.
Do you remember? And he mentions, and he even goes, how's Mike?
Yeah. Mike Yates, Mike Yates. Do you remember Joe Grant?
Joe Grant, Joe,
Joe Grant,
Grant.
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
remember when Benton fell on his ass?
Arse. Complete arse.
Do you remember that little wobbly devil from the demon?
Big wobblers.
Do you remember Sarah Jane?
He
tells us what Yates and Benton are up to now.
Mm.
Yeah. One of them's a used car dealer.
Yes.
The other one's gone to NATO or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Which, isn't it the wrong way round? Isn't one of them, the one that goes to NATO should have been the used car dealer?
Oh, license? I don't know. No,
it's Benton that becomes the car salesman, which is fine.
He becomes a car.
Yates goes to NATO, but they wouldn't have let Yates go to NATO because, as we know, Yates was a traitor.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's the wrong way round. You wouldn't want someone who's proved to be who nearly destroyed London.
Yeah.
Nearly destroyed London, by the way.
Almost killed the Doctor.
Yeah.
But then, would you want Mike Yates selling you a car? Because he might be like, he might have put an inhibitor on the car, like he did in Invasion of the Dinosaurs. And
that's true.
But whilst all this is going on, with the Doctor talking to the brig, Tegan and Nyssa, who are still in the TARDIS, have landed in exactly the same place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the wrong bloody time.
Six years pence.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is.
There's your change. 6 years pence.
Here's your 6 years pence.
Because of all the people that he. Of the Doctor, the Brigadier doesn't recognise. The one he does recognise is Tegan.
Yes.
Now, oh no, he hasn't met Tegan yet, has he? Because the Five Doctors hasn't happened. So,
right.
Yeah. So, okay.
So it doesn't make sense why he would recognise.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, doesn't it make sense from UNIT's point of view and the Brig leaving it? Because lots of people go, no, you were still working there.
This is the This story injects a lot of like confusion about when exactly UNIT stories happen.
Yeah.
So is this pre Ian Levine? Because he would have been here to say, guys.
He would have been there to say, come on, can we sort this out? And can we start? Can we do animations the way I think they should be done?
Like, guys, follow me. I've got something to show you. Take me to another room. Smash the telly with a hammer. His head. In 1977.
Yeah, yeah.
He still has been in UNIT, so you need to change the year.
Yeah, yeah.
What about, why did you smash the telly? I don't know.
Yeah. I just love doing it.
Do that.
Meanwhile, in 1977.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nyssa and Tegan are there, and they encounter the transmat thing as well. And inside, I think this is so funny. Oh. So inside is this.
Inside is a crispy chicken cooter.
it looks like, for a second, your eyes go, oh, is that Peter Davison in a tiny pair of pants?
Yeah.
And then you go, actually, no, it looks like Jeffrey from Rainbow.
The guy, I can't remember his name now, he plays Silver in Sapphire and Steel.
Yeah, well, he's also in.
He's in Doctor Who as well, isn't he? Something else.
He's in the first ever story we ever did.
Yes.
He's in The Robots of Death.
There you go.
He plays Chief Mover Paul in The Robots of Death. That's why we've done it.
See, that's why we're doing this.
Yes.
There you go. We've reverse engineered.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go, that must be the Doctor.
Yeah.
Even though he doesn't look like the Doctor.
Well, because they know...
They think it's mid-regeneration.
Because they've both seen the Doctor regenerate, haven't they? They've both been there when the Doctor regenerated. So it's good plotting that they would go, well, maybe he's regenerated again. They must be a bit like... Oh, before we went from Tom Baker to renowned character actor Peter Davison, but now we've just got an angry, crispy man.
Maybe that's his new crispy pancake.
Yeah, they must have been thinking, God, John Nathan Turner's done a... he's made an odd decision here.
Did you meet him at a wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, was there a fire?
So, that's brilliant.
So they think, oh, our doctor's in peril. Meanwhile, the doctor keeps mentioning old things, and then we get a little montage clip of old apps. And then the Briggs suddenly like, I remember.
Yeah.
I love that bit.
Those must have been like gold dust.
Sarah Jane on the toilet.
Yeah.
Shagged my wife.
Repeatedly.
Yeah. Like for an old fan where you couldn't get hold of easily like old no VHSs in those days, seeing a clip of like, you know, a Cyberman or something like that from the olden days must be like gold. A Yeti.
Yeah, you see the Yeti.
Oh, lovely, that must be wonderful.
And then he realises who he is.
Mm.
And then realises he might have had a nervous breakdown. Yeah.
You see a Yeti, you see Sideman, you see a BBC technician deleting tapes.
Just burning them. Chugging them on a fire. Half the Trout era.
Trying to court again.
Yeah.
Penguining out of a lady's house.
Yeah. Shimmying down the drain pipe.
Being chased by Nosher Powell. he thinks he's having some sort of breakdown.
Yeah. Fair enough. Meanwhile, old Findus, crispy doctor, is taken into the TARDIS, like we say.
Yeah.
The Brig joins... is that right? Joins Nyssa and Tegan to find out what's up with him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's put on Tom Baker's coat.
Yeah,
which feels sacrilegious.
But he's got a big rip in the top of his head. Yeah. Fucking horrible.
He looks like...
and it's pulsing.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been in a fire at an Italian restaurant and a waiter's dropped a load of spaghetti on his head on the way out.
Yeah, horror. Imagine that. You think that's your doctor now. You're like, oh, that's a doctor, is it?
You're keeping that look, are you?
Yeah.
Can carry on with the regeneration. Mm. Oh, you're finished, have you? Right. Because it looks like you've got a lasagna on your head.
No, the burnt fellow with spaghetti on his head, or Colin Baker. So, burnt fellow, where are we going?
Yeah. So, yeah, he's now trying to captain the TARDIS in order to...
They might think he's the Watcher.
Maybe they think he's the Watcher. Yeah. The thing that's never quite explained what the Watcher is.
Or seen again.
Yeah. I'd love to see a story with the Watcher.
So would I.
Just a random one.
Yeah.
Come on, Big Finish.
Yeah, the Watcher Adventures. Yeah. It's just him like just standing on lay-bys pointing at people.
He just doesn't say anything.
Yeah. It's like
2 minutes of silence. Yeah. And someone goes, good point.
Yeah.
Pale, milky man behind the bins outside the Lidl.
Like a really sort of jaunty Big Finish that's like the Adventures of the Watcher.
It's time for the Watcher Show.
It's the all new Watcher Show.
Like a Hanna-Barbera thing.
Yeah. With guest star Stephanie Beecham.
The Watcher Show is filmed before a live studio audience.
For a dead Gallifreyan council.
There's complete silence and then that canned cartoon laughter.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the Watcher doing now?
That's it. Right. Yep.
Ugh, he's fallen over a bucket.
Oh no.
TARDIS has appeared upside down. Yeah, all the changes come out of his pockets. Yeah. Anyway, there we go.
Like in the Sesame Street movie, Follow That Bird, where they follow...
Big Bird.
It'll
be Big Bird, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're following Big Bird, and Bert and Ernie are in a biplane, and he's a bit north by northwest, and then they go upside down, and Bert goes, no, my bottle cap collection, and all the bottle caps fall out of the plane.
Now, isn't Follow That Bird,
isn't that a
sort of meta thing? Because in the original Muppet movie, when Fozzie and Kermit are driving, Big Bird is hitchhiking.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, so this is happening at the same time?
What?
I believe so, yes.
Holy shit.
Wow.
So Jim Henson was miles ahead.
Yeah. At this time.
Yeah.
And the Dark Crystal was going on as well?
Yeah.
Scratch me.
Follow That Bird's amazing.
Yeah, it's good.
It's absolutely incredible.
I've never seen it. I think... Mm. No, I'm not going to say it's boring. I'm just going to say that when Henson died, it kind of...
Yeah.
It's not worth bothering with anymore.
No.
When all the voices get really odd.
When Kermit comes out and goes, hello, I'm Kermit.
I'm Kermit the Frog.
Hey, I'm Kermit the Frog.
I am Miss Piggy.
So anyway. They're going to bring the TARDIS, basically, pretending to be the Doctor.
Yes.
Mordrian gets them to bring the TARDIS to his Holiday Inn kind of...
To the spaceship.
Yeah. Because he's got an idea how to use it in that sort of nebulous way that the TARDIS has powers that we're never quite...
Well, because the TARDIS basically sort of I don't want to say regenerates him, because he doesn't. It heals him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the healing regeneration process.
It's probably Tom's coat when he puts it on. It's probably full of alcohol. It heals all the
pickles
wounds.
Pickles him, yeah.
Served in brine.
Yeah.
Whiskey.
Oh, there was a clip today. Sorry, I keep getting distracted. There's a clip today on Twitter, and I think it's from the season 15 box set of sort of a very, you know, a very elderly Tom now. Yeah. And he's sort of reflecting on how he was sort of badly behaved as the doctor and stuff. Oh, really? And I think we'd all forgive Tom for absolutely, most things, wouldn't we?
Yes.
But he's sort of going, he's sort of saying, oh no, I'm very sorry. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. Whoa. It's I mean, he's a wonder. It's almost like he's sort of now doing a little tour to kind of mop up his legacy and make sure everyone knows he's the best, you know, he's the best guy he could possibly be.
But he made titties tingle.
He did. He made them titties tingle.
He's probably got like nursery staff around him now and stuff like that. Some of them dress up like the Watcher to shit him. Leg in his bed.
Yeah, he should wake up in the morning and find the Watcher, and then he runs away from him, and Peter Davison's downstairs. Hello. Take over from you in life.
But Ep 3 is one of those ones where it's really confusing, because it's like the TARDIS goes here, then back there. The Transmat goes here, then back there.
Well, this is why I'm going to come unstuck.
The Transmat gets blown up at one point. Yeah. The Doctor says, don't worry, even though we're in different times, or he hasn't spoken to them yet, he said, I activated a homing beacon on the TARDIS, and that's the only thing that's kind of saved.
There is a point during, whether it's episode 3 or 4, where I literally said out loud, oh, shut up. Because it just doesn't stop moving. You can't focus on anything.
Yes.
We're kind of flitting between the two time periods, which kind of is quite innovative for Classic Who to sort of play with different time.
And I like that the Brig, we haven't mentioned it, but the Brig in 77 has got the moustache and the black hair.
He's lovely. A classic Brig, isn't he?
And he meets Tegan, and she knows who he is, but he doesn't know who she is.
And then when
they cut back to the Doctor when they cut back to the modern thing, he then will start remembering because of the thing we've seen 6 years previous when the Doctor reminds him of what he hasn't seen. So that's kind of good fun.
It is good fun. It
but
is
you
just
add
quite...
the spaceship going at 30,000 miles an hour, you don't know why to what. Yeah. The Transmat going back and forth, and you're like... and the Black Guardian just occasionally going, you will kill him now! And you're like, well, I'm nowhere near it. What do you want?
But now we find out... We find out about the... Mordrin's kind of plan after sort of a lot of toing and froing that basically they've all kind of been mutating themselves and they're all in horrible agony now, aren't they?
Yeah, because they're immortal.
Yeah.
Why? Immortal.
Why?
Yeah.
Always the same question. Mm. Why?
But their quest, it would seem, what they want...
Want
is to be killed.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
They want it all to end.
So they've gone to Earth to speak to Matthew Paris.
That's very topical.
Look at that.
Today's news.
Good on you.
I think, hello, I'm Matthew Paris. I've got a lovely, gentle voice, but I'm a fascist. Mm.
That's it. If you've got a cold, just shoot them. Old person with a cough, cut their head off.
Yeah. What an odd man.
Very odd.
Because he used to be a moderate, didn't he? He always used to like come across as quite a moderate and quite sort of friendly Tory, and now...
Hey, should be Matthew Berlin.
Yeah!
East Berlin.
Matthew Nuremberg.
Yeah! Someone said it.
Mm. Thank God it was me.
Yeah. But yeah, so Mordrin basically is a whole bunch of these people who can live forever but are all in a lot of pain.
Hey, Maudlin more like.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're basically the trope of kill me.
Yeah.
They basically are, yeah.
Yeah. That's all they want.
They've watched the Chibnall era. Oh. We love you. Love you, Chris.
Oh no!
Tom has endorsed headline news in the Who World. Tom Neenan endorses the hates Doctor Who.
You've heard it here first.
Oh no, it's all gone wrong. I do not endorse that.
Chris Chibnall's now doing podcasts, so come on, Chris.
Come on. Do you want to come on our show?
Yeah. We'll even do a new Who for you.
There you go. Your choice. Do one of yours and we can chat it through.
One of the most crucial things that is being said in Ep 3, which is very crucial, is our Doctor keeps saying, listen, we must never, ever let Old Brig and New Brig.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
So important. Because it would mean the end of the universe.
Old Brig and New Brig. Never
Marty. Oh, Doc. Well, I think they're going to meet, Doc.
What will happen if they do, Doc? Nothing. It will just be difficult to do.
It will just be slightly awkward. Yes. But they mustn't meet because if they meet, then it's the end of the world, apparently. The universe will blow up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Crucial. Very crucial, folks, because this is not going to pay off later. Tremendously.
Because now all the agony people, they want the Doctor's regeneration energy to die, which I don't... I just thought,
why do they need his life force to die?
I think regeneration wouldn't kill you.
Yeah.
It would
make you stronger.
Because they want all his regenerations, don't they?
Yeah.
They want all of them. Wouldn't they then be like young teenagers? Yeah!
Wouldn't they be like, you know, sorry, we sent you on the TARDIS to get bleach so we can drink it and die?
Yeah! And they sort of, the Doctor's like, no. You know when, like, if someone's like, can you do me a massive favour?
Yeah.
And then they're like, can you help me move house and also book the removal banner?
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Can you just help me with the piano up the stairs?
Yeah. Because he explained it'd be the end of him.
Yeah.
As a Time Lord. End of part three.
So he actually also drops that rule again that they ignore now.
Right.
That he's only got a certain amount of regeneration.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, was it 12 maximum or something?
Well, it flips a bit because...
Changes.
Matt Smith gets zapped some more. Gets zapped some more lives at the end of time of the Doctor. I'll say that, and then please don't write in if I'm wrong about that. And part four. So he can only regenerate 12 times, and that's the rule that they've set out.
Yeah,
and he's already done so 4 times, has he? Brackets, has he?
And I think in the last few episodes, Tolo's been like on the ship back at Earth, about
it's
8
exhausting.
Times.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Yeah.
But now and the Black Guardian goes. Make sure the two brigadiers meet. Or it will kill you.
You know in Scooby-Doo when you'd have the music and they'd be running in and out of doors?
Yeah.
It goes like that.
It becomes a bit like that with the two brigadiers and they're all sort of wandering around. Is this the point, by the way, that
this is brilliant because basically the Eternal... No, they're not the Eternals.
The Immortals
say, Doctor, we need your regeneration. The Doctor's like, I'm sorry, even I can't help you with that. We're off. Mm. And this bit's so funny, but it's kind of cool. So Doctor tries to leave and then Nissa and Tegan get all over.
They drink from the wrong grail.
Yeah.
And then they get young, and the young lady is the lady from who was in EastEnders for ages.
Doc Cotton.
Is it Little Mo?
It's not Little Mo, hang on.
It's Little Willie.
Is it Lucy Baker?
If you want.
Yeah. What did she say? Sticks in here.
Cheryl Baker. Sticks in here, I made me mind up.
If you want to see some eggs. Just doing all the callbacks.
Yeah, doing all the callbacks.
But it's really funny, because that's why the Immortals just go, don't worry, he'll be back.
Yeah.
Because he tries to escape the TARDIS, and the Doctor knows that Tegan and Nissa will either get too old or too young. So he comes back and then goes, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sacrifice myself.
I'm having very right-wing views, don't
you? Yeah, but you've got younger, it's weird.
Yeah. Hang on. No. Oh, dear. I'm getting confused now. Is it her or is it... Hang on. Or is it Lucy Benjamin? I'm getting very confused.
I don't know. Private Benjamin.
So
when they're young, she turns into Goldie Hawn.
Yeah. Right. It's one of the... Anyway, you'll know... And sorry, Toby Haydock, who's probably spitting out his tea right now in fury that we don't...
He's smashing cups.
Yeah.
Beating himself to death with a lamb shank.
And then cooking it after.
And then feeding it to the police. How did Toby Haydock kill himself? Anyway, sorry,
case,
Toby.
Case closed.
Yeah.
Yes, it will move on, dude.
Yeah.
It was a lovely lamblet.
By the way, heavy remedim. It's a very inclusive day, the police.
Yep.
And we're very sorry to hear about your passing, Tony Haddock.
Mr. Haddock.
So
this so case is a bit fishy.
We're having fun. So yeah, trying to leave in the TARDIS, they get really old and really young.
Yeah.
And that's really fun. That's
good fun.
A fun thing.
Yeah.
And unlike when anyway, so now the Doctor is gonna do it, gonna sacrifice himself, and give up his regenerations to help some random people he's never met who have completely done this off their own.
So he is going to allow 10 old men to die, and in the process, die himself.
Also,
he doesn't want to be seen traveling through time and space with a child. That questions are asked,
He just about got away with it with Adric.
Yeah,
because he hated him so much, and there was.
Yeah.
But then that's what
you
Samuel
mean
used to say.
Hitler.
Dinosaur Hitler.
Where he meets his fiercest enemy, the yew tree.
Yeah. But Savile always used to be like, can't stand children, didn't he? And that was it. That was what he, how he got away with it.
Yep.
Anyway. Oh, dear.
So, basically...
Savile Glitz.
Savile... Savoy Glitz.
So basically, the machine's turned on. All these old geezers like, yes, we get the
sweet release. Yeah.
But no.
Because at the exact moment.
The one thing
moment,
that never happened.
Never happen is that the brig meets a man in a wig who he's filmed from behind. And then that causes so much power.
Yeah. Go on.
That then. It works!
It sorts fine. Everything out!
It works!
Fucking pathetic.
Look, can I read? Okay, so spoiler alert, I have been on the TARDIS fandom explanation of this story.
Great.
Because I lost my notes.
Great.
Lost your mind.
So the younger Brig Viver, however.
Heavy lifting there. Forgot.
Yes, hang on. Hooking. Hooking herself up to Baldwin's apparatus, the Doctor is about to sacrifice himself when the two Brigadiers meet and touch hands. Touch hands is important. Causing a causing a discharge of temporal energy at the precisely the right instant to act as a substitute power source.
Lazy shit writer.
I don't mind it. They've set up a thing. I don't know. It's... basically,
they've written themselves into a corner. Yeah. They do not know what to do. The Brigs meet, and because that's going on and that's going on, they cancel each other out.
Yeah, I just watched Modern Undead. I wish I hadn't fucking bothered. Load of shit it was.
that one, God, was so contemporary. Oh, it was shit.
Fucking load of bollocks.
Oh, God, I just realised what you're doing. Sorry,
Mark Strington eating a banana looking sad.
Still eating some marshmallows. It was absolute shit, it was.
Oh, sorry, I'm choking on a pillow.
And the TARDIS interior 1986 was awful.
See, this is why we only have a go at TV shows made
40 years ago,
because everyone who was involved is perfectly happy with how things are going.
I have heard Sonia from EastEnders enjoys Modern Undead. So
there you go.
There's the BBC balance we're looking
for. Yeah, you can hear in that clip.
She's got a tattoo of all the immortals.
Yeah. Sonia from EastEnders got dragged into that, and you can hear her going.
Well, it's not everyone's cup of tea. I'm sure it's all right.
No, it's not everyone's cup of tea. But it's all right.
I want cup tea back.
No, it's fucking shit, Sonia. Stop calling me Sonia.
Yeah,
it's not Sonia.
So anyway, while it may seem like
my
it is
not Tanya.
Hey, I just watched the Keith Harris show. Fucking load of shit. That bird can't fucking fly.
See. No. We are. Make sure everyone that we are criticising is
just watched Alan
80
Wicker.
Or dead.
I just watched the 1972 Alan Wicker when he goes to South Africa. He doesn't even mention apartheid. He's a fucking asshole. He is. You all right?
Well, old. Well, the people we have a go at are old, dead. Mm-hmm. Are asking for it.
Begging for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so because they meet, it all cancels each other out.
And the Doctor and the Brigadier won't remember any
Brigadier
of this.
Kind of won't remember.
Which is fine.
Go back to living in his shed.
Go back to living in his shed, but then we'll meet him again in the Five Doctors and he'll be giving a speech to UNIT.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he'll look like the younger version, even though it's unclear when that happens with the Trout and stuff.
Yeah.
And tomorrow's times, all that. Anyway.
Yeah. So he's returned to his own time.
Yeah.
And this is brilliant because Turlough is just sort of on the ship, just there. And the Doctor goes, yeah, hi.
Might as well join us.
And then it ends and you go, oh.
Yeah. This was a period where you became an assistant just by being
there.
Do you remember when Chameleon was like, well, there's fucking chameleons in the TARDIS now. And I guess he'll have your room. Guys, none of us like him.
Me, our new assistant, an ant.
Tread.
Doctor, I don't like the end.
I don't trust this end, Doctor.
He keeps taking away bits of my sandwiches.
He's carried all the sugar out my teeth. The
Doctor, there's been a terrible accident. I knocked over the kettle and killed ants. Tegan, you shouldn't have done that. It's the one thing I don't like is killing assistants.
And then the credits roll in silence again it's over the ant that's boiling.
With a broken sugar cube.
All I can say is what a better way to celebrate our 100th episode.
Yes.
Than to tackle that.
Than staggering through a Wikipedia entry.
I think Tom deserves a round of applause.
Well, God bless you.
No notes. And we need to score.
We need to score this. What are we scoring it out of?
Well, it's out of 100 hundreds, because it's 100th episode.
Nice, 100
Wow, everything's folding in on itself.
I love you. That's one.
Yeah.
So, Tom.
Right. Here's the thing.
Right, now, come on.
Behind the curtain, on our little WhatsApp group,
yeah,
we were sort of sharing the fact that while, yes, it doesn't make sense, and while it is silly, that... And while there is a lot to-ing and fro-ing, there's a lot to recommend this story.
Yes.
Yes.
You have Nicholas Courtney doing some really quite, like, some stuff he never got to quite do before, which is sort of, you know, expanding the brig and his character and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bit of PTSD acting and things like that.
Yeah.
SDD acting, yeah.
Yeah. I think Mordrin is an odd character, but he's played well. I really like that actor. And because he does sort of a man who is, you know, on the cusp of lunacy, like he did in Robots of Death as well.
Yeah.
And so, it's one of those rare ones where it's like, actually, we want you to help us die. It's not like we want to take over the world or destroy everything. Moral. It's just we all want to die.
Mm.
And the idea that the Doctor must die to help them is a really lovely idea.
Yes. Mm. You're right. Idea. It is just a shame that the resolution is pure luck.
Pure guff.
Yeah. Rather than like a moral decision. Although... We now find out the Doctor's willing to sacrifice his life for like 10 guys who are just...
10 old men.
Yeah. And not just one regeneration. All of his entire existence he's willing to...
For 10 old men who want to go to Digitas.
He should have just fucking pushed him out the window.
I can help you easy.
Mm.
Yeah. But have a look out this airlock.
Like, don't mention that.
But I think it's very...
Come back for the 40th anniversary special. Bye and wave. Sorry.
Because, isn't it set between 1983 and 1970... Hang on.
Well, 1977 and 83.
1977
and 83.
So you're going to give it six.
So I'm going to go in the middle of those two, and I'm going to say, so 77, 83, that's 80. I'm going to give it 80 hundreds out of 100.
Nothing more fitting for a 100th episode than Tom giving an episode way more than he deserves.
Who's next to rate this?
I'll go next. It has my favourite thing, which is a lot of hot TARDIS action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of dematerialisations and materialisations. Yep. I love the first two episodes a lot, mm-hmm. and then I think it gets slowly weaker as it goes along. Too much running around, mm-hmm. and the ending is like you want to punch BBC to death with that stupid ending. However, Tylo's good fun.
Uh-huh.
Black Guardian is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it gets better as we go along with these Black Guardian stories. So out of 100s, I'm going to give it 65 100s out of 100.
65, okay.
100s out of 100.
Okay, well, again, as usual, I would echo what you both said. Mm. But I would also add that... I'd heard this was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed it.
Hey.
Right. I love the vibe of this era anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I do like that even though the ending is guff, it does tease that Turlough's still working against the Doctor. So there's more to come. And I enjoy everybody in it. I thought it was good. So I'm going to give it 70.
70.
So how many hundreds out of 100?
215 hundreds out of 300 hundreds.
That's not bad at 100 hundreds.
Not bad.
Very good. Do we have a correspondence?
We do. Tim Coleman says, Mordrin. It's either brilliant, too complicated, or both.
Yes.
Turlo drives like BA in the 18. Far too much steering wheel action. Serves him right that he crashes into a GIF. Black Guardian dresses like your unwed auntie after 7 sherries. 50 out of 100, when's your Adolmio head day?
That's not bad. Very good.
Roku Hadu says, Turlo is an absolute helmet. Right? We're bringing it back. You just know he'd grow up to be a proper Tory cunt.
Jesus.
All right.
Okay. Wow.
Bloody hell. Colour Horizon Review says, Mordrin, fun fact. Turlo was once voted the companion most likely to be caught watching Two Girls, One Cup.
Right. Okay. Move on.
Okay. So, Ben Thomas.
Oh, Christ.
Mordrin undead. Producer John Nathan Turner initially wanted Mark Strickson to have his head shaved bald to play Turlo, as he thought having two blonde actors in the TARDIS crew would confuse the audience. Presumably, he thought the viewers suffered the same face blindness that assailed him every morning after his fifth breakfast gin of the day. Strickson's agent got involved and told Turner that if this happened, he'd demand a bonus fee. That scotched that, and they decided to have him dyed ginger instead.
Well, there you go.
Which is far worse, obviously. Ben!
Benjamin!
Andrew F. We are not racist on this podcast.
We had no idea we had the last Easter in the comments. Andrew F. said, it's nice to see the brig again, but the rest of that This works about as well as Mordrin's beauty regime. And it has some of the least convincing teenagers since Greece. Nick Burden says, Mordrin, I remember watching this in 83 and being convinced Mordrin was the previous doctor in my first timey-wimey story. Mm. No idea who the Brig was, as I just started reading the Target book. Certainly scared of the Black Guardian and his pet bird hat. I should also thank Nick Burden, because he's always the one who does the wonderful photos.
Oh, yeah, Nick. Yeah, you do send us some great stuff.
Yeah.
And keep doing that, please.
And if you see any of his Photoshops you don't understand, that means you need to subscribe to the Patreon, because we're coming up with some great...
Come on, get your hands in your pocket. Yeah.
And thanks, again, it's our 100th episode, so thank you all our patrons, because you've allowed us to be here today.
Yeah.
Because certainly when you go back over the old episodes and we're doing it over the internet, it's a bit sad.
It's a bit sad.
When we're in person.
Yeah.
Joe Short says, Mordrin, the Brigadier's back and there's two of him. Spaghetti-headed monsters, the oldest schoolboys ever, and Tegan and Nyssa aged and de-aged to be suitable wives for both Rupert Murdoch and Bill Wyman. 85, why is the Brig living in the garden shed with his Jags mags out of 100? Martin says, Mordrin undead, don't touch that dial. He has scenery to chew whilst manipulating Turlo via a temporal tea light. Mm. An excess of brigadiers cause a flux in the what name, but there's plenty of hot materialization action to keep Paul happy, so that's okay.
Yes, lovely. You're bloody right.
Bobby Peru says, Mordrin, the Black Guardian really did miss a trick by not having Turlo stick that crystal butt plug up his arse when he wanted to communicate with him.
Sure.
10 Mordrin spaghetti toupees out of 100. Russell Parker says, the unit dating controversy starts here. Mm. Theoretically quite fun. Would have been better with Ian Chesterton as the math teacher. Meh, I really like this a lot if nobody else does. Turlo being a baddie who wants to kill the Doctor was highly exciting to me. Agreed.
Mm. Yes.
Mr. Jarhead says, Mordrin undead, the story with the Doctor and companions are saved by the Brigadier touching himself. The Brigadier also seems a little too interested in the thrashings of the pupils. Also, judging by the subtitles, this podcast should be renamed Vorp Vorp.
Oh,
that's the subtitles that's on there.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. Jonathan Roberts says, an 80s trilogy, let's brace ourselves for what's surely become known as Litchfield's Revenge.
What?
Al Knapp. Hello, Brig. It's been a while. I was excited to see him even with confused dates. Not a bad story and a fun rewatch. I like the idea of an evil companion, and it's fairly well realised in Turlo, and the baddies were quite scary, despite the dodgy prolapse skull cap. 65. Where did you get that hat? Where did you get that hat? Isn't it a misplaced placenta? No, I don't want one like that. Out of 100. Pippa Musgrave says, if the Brig supposedly leads the unit in the 1980s Pertwee era, how can he have been retired and teaching in 1977? Mm. Is something wrong with the Blinovich limitation effect?
Don't pick at that thread.
Mm. Logan says, a nice idea involving two streams, and always good to see the Brig, who was originally going to be Ian Chesterton if Russell was available. Unfortunately, the story gets urinated on a typical JNT era fashion by the use of a shitty generic soundtrack, iMovie effects. SDRRR says, love it. One of my favourites, even if the homing device chronology makes no sense. Nathan Afton says, Mordrin, the way Turlo moans about school, I can already imagine him in the army ads about how life at sea changed him. I was born on Tryon, but I was made in the Royal Navy. Also, the state of Hippo, even Syl would floor him. I should also add that the TARDIS, I wanted to mention this and I've just remembered, the TARDIS supposedly has unlimited rooms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they give him Adrix?
Yeah,
that's been burnt.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, this is like a dirty, stupid child's room."
Yeah,
like he's just fucking died. Leave him alone. Yeah,
they should have done that where it's like really awkward, and it's like actually he died.
He dies.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
At least his death took place in the shadow of New Light. No, he killed all the dinosaurs. Watcher 63, the one that has a rare example of the classic series playing around with time. But Christ, the Brig had a rough 6 years. Drinking his sorrows away in one room bedsit with Harry refusing his calls and Benton trying to sell him a second-hand car. 67 out of 100 smashed skulls. Tony Clark says, I watched Mordrin Undead once on video back in 1993. Wasn't a fan, lads. My main memory is a really, really horrible bit of music with some lame public school boys were driving a special car. Ben Cowdell says, in which Paddy Kingsley goes nuts with the soundtrack. The corporate buccaneer season 18 coat makes a strange return. I like that coat. And everybody wants to die. 85 out of 100 Turlo takes a ride B-side singles. And finally, Andy Parkinson says, David Collings is great as the spaghetti-headed villain. The Brigadier back, and so is the Black Guardian, who still hasn't learned his lesson in hiring shit accomplices. Davidson is great in this. 87 out of 100 complications to the unit dating saga. Thank you very much for your correspondence.
Thank you. So. That was our first dip into the Black Guardian trilogy. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Or depending when you're listening to this, maybe on Patreon. We'll be back, tomorrow. Because we just shove them all out when they're ready.
Or yesterday.
But happy 100.
Happy 100, boys. Happy 100 from Captain Tom.
Oh, goodbye. Oh, it's hot down here.
From Brian Walden.
I'd like to say happy 100 again.
And from JFK himself.
I would like to say thank you for amazing podcasting so far. Ich bin ein Doctor Who fan. Goodbye.